Right now? Are we on the air, Lady Skill?
Yes,
now?
Yes, we are.
I'm sorry. Hey, yo, bust a move.
This is Tommy Keene, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today on the show, we will hear from Andy Bicking of Scenic Hudson talking about the Clean Air, Clean Water, and Green Jobs Bond Act. It's on the ballot. You flip over your ballot in November's general election. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather, the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves.
Controlled.
On air, in air, channel.
Connection.
And the moon
turns to blood.
A stream runs through.
This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. The stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Turn out or tune in Wednesday, August 10th to another show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Live. There'll be performances from Jeffrey Silverstein, Camp St. Helene, and Will Stratton, and a DJ set from Stadiums and Shrines, a live web stream and broadcast on 90.7 and WGXC.org. Jeffrey Silverstein is a songwriter living in Portland, while Will Stratton is from Beacon, and Camp St. Helene are from Catskill. The show is from 8 to 11 p.m. Wednesday, August 10th. You can turn out in person at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, or tune in on 90.7 FM or on a web stream at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Spike's Record Rack in Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Ted Remsnyder reports for Columbia Greene Media that the town of Kopech is continuing its lawsuit against the New York State Office of Renewable Energy sitting regulations, as a large solar energy project is proposed for the town. Kopech is the lead petitioner for the group of 11 towns and conservation organizations appealing the previous court ruling allowing the regulations. Almost everyone agrees that the planet is warming and that renewable energy is better for the environment than fossil fuels, which often come with payments to countries that harbor terrorists or have a history of human rights violations.
But many communities are reluctant to host large renewable energy projects in their backyards. Here, the COPEG lawsuit seeks to nullify the state sitting officer's regulations and require the state agency to launch a new rulemaking process that takes other factors into account. Ben Wisniewski, the lawsuit's attorney, said, and I quote, "Our client respectfully disagrees with the lower court's ruling. We believe the appellate court on a fresh review will agree that ORES failed to take a hard look at its regulations and how they can adversely impact the environment. We also believe the appellate court will acknowledge that ORES failed to issue any relevant standards for when it can waive local law, thereby violating the powers of local government," end quote. The appeal was filed August 2nd, a day after the Hegate Energy Company provided a revised application to the state for the proposed Shepherd's Run project, a 60-megawatt solar farm that would be built on a 220-acre parcel on Route 23 and Route 7 in Copeg and Carrieville, if approved. The suit alleges that the sitting's office regulations were written by a consulting firm, Tetra Tech, which is paid by New York State for design and sitting services on renewable energy projects. The story also quotes those opposed to the state's regulations who are also opposed to renewable energy projects in their backyards. It does not quote anyone from the state nor any renewable energy advocates. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
And Hudson News reports that Governor Kathy Hochul on August 8th signed legislation sponsored by State Senator Michelle Hinchey, Democrat from Saugerties, to help low to moderate income seniors cover the cost of emergency home repairs through the Residential Emergency Services to Offer Home Repairs to the Elderly or Restore program. Two companion bills were also signed to expand property tax relief for seniors and first-time homebuyers. The Restore program is available statewide. It helps seniors remain living independently and safely in their homes by funding needed structural, electrical, plumbing, and heating repairs, accessibility modifications, and appliance replacements. Hinchey's bill, supported by the Rural Housing Coalition, improves the Restore program by increasing the maximum cost allowed per project to $20,000 and extending the construction deadline for projects to 60 days. The other pieces of legislation signed by the governor this week include bills to expand tax relief for New York homeowners. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Steve Hughes is reporting for the Times Union that on August 8th, the Albany County Legislature voted for a law requiring gun stores in the county to hang signs warning about how firearms in homes lead to an increased chance of suicide and domestic violence. All 27 Democrats voted for the Albany County Commitment to Safe Society bill, and all 8 Republicans voted against. Legislator Dustin Reedy said in a statement, and I quote, "This is a common sense measure at the county level to address gun violence, and if this warning sign prevents just one suicide, accidental death, or domestic violence death, it will be worth it," end quote. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy would not say whether he would sign the bill into law. Republicans did not offer amendments to the bill in committee, but did at the last moment before the vote, though that amendment, stressing that illegal guns were more dangerous, failed to pass. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Roger Hennigan Gilson reports for the Times Union that a man fell to his death in Durham after being pulled over by a state trooper late on August 8th. Christopher Stanton, 40, a resident of Hunter, was found lying at the bottom of a ravine after running from the traffic stop. Stanton was operating his pickup truck when a trooper pulled him over at the intersection of County Route 67 and O'Hara Road in Durham just after 11:30 p.m. for a vehicle and traffic violation, according to state police. Stanton ran from his vehicle into the woods on the west side of the road. The trooper followed and eventually found Stanton at the bottom of a steep rock embankment. State police spokesperson Trooper Stephen Neville said the chase was, quote, "very brief. Stanton ran into the wood line, and that was it," unquote. The trooper heard moaning and was able to locate the man. Stanton was conscious after the fall and during his rescue, talking to troopers and EMS personnel, according to Neville. The trooper administered first aid until Greenville EMS, Greene County paramedics, and the sheriff's office arrived and transported him to Albany Medical Center via helicopter, where he was pronounced dead from his injuries. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
New York State of Politics listens to Paul Rodriguez, the Republican and Conservative Party candidate for New York State Comptroller. He wants to unseat Tom DiNapoli, a Democrat from Long Island, who has held the position for 14 years. That might be tough, as New York's common retirement fund's investment return for the past fiscal year was 9.51%. Rodriguez attacked DiNapoli for sometimes taking political issues into account when making investment decisions. Rodriguez said, and I quote, "Frankly, I believe that it's irresponsible and unethical for any public official to use the value of the pension fund and the power that comes with that pension fund to push whatever personal political agenda they have. Primarily, the reason for that is that politics and public opinion change with time," end quote. For instance, Rodriguez would have kept New York's investment with the Russian regime headed by the brutal dictator Vladimir Putin. He said, and I quote, "What Putin did was simply prohibit foreign investors from selling their shares on the Russian market. As a result of that, we now have about $500 million at the state level and probably another $300 million at the city level that virtually has no value on our books because we can't sell it. The job shouldn't be about virtue signal political leanings. It should be about doing what's best in terms of prudence and in terms of ethics," end quote. Rodriguez worked on Wall Street and has been a financial advisor to affluent individuals and business owners, and is now, and I quote, "a nonprofit development professional at a major New York City religious institution," end quote, according to Ballotpedia. Voting in the general election this year takes place October 29th through November 8th. And you can read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation is continuing its investigation into an alum spill on August 7th at the Catskill Village Water Treatment Facility in Coxsackie. The spill resulted in a fish kill in the nearby Podick Creek. According to the DEC, approximately 1,500 gallons of aluminum salts, or alum, leaked from a broken pipe. That leak has since been repaired. DEC fisheries employees were at the creek on August 8th, removing fish and assessing the situation. The flow of the creek is at a trickle, and the sediment left by the alum has not moved, the agency stated. Podick Creek is not a public drinking water source, and the DEC emphasized there is no public health threat from the spill. Quote, "The facility is currently cleaning up impacted water from its settling ponds and lagoons to ensure that it is not discharged and there are no further impacts to the creek," unquote, the DEC stated. Quote, "In the meantime, alum does not bioaccumulate, so other wildlife that may feed on the dead fish are not impacted," unquote. The DEC's investigation is ongoing. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
Syracuse.com is reporting that newly published photos show alleged White House documents from the administration of Donald Trump in a toilet, including one with local representative Elise Stefanik's name on it. The New York Times reporter Maggie Haberman released two photos August 8th of documents in a toilet, touting her forthcoming book. Haberman previously reported that the White House staff had found dumped documents clogging toilets during the Trump administration. Trump has denied flushing documents, and a spokesperson did so again after the two photos were published. Stefanik, though, has been mum on the issue so far. Trump's Florida estate was searched by the FBI on the same day the toilet photos were released. And you can read more about this story at Syracuse.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now here is your WGXC weather update.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Wednesday, a slight chance of showers after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 84 degrees. Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 63 degrees. And on Thursday, isolated showers before 8 a.m., then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 86 degrees. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 57 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Wednesday, August 10th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM, including at 11 a.m. It's time for Maria Manhattan's Hudson Cafe show, where she plays music from the American Songbook. At noon, after the local news, Spike Priggin is live from Spike's Record Rack on Main Street in Catskill with the two-hour Bedazzled Radio Hour on 90.7 FM, WGXC. And 8 o'clock, we are also live from Catskill, this time with a show at the Avalon Lounge with Jeffrey Silverstein from Portland, Camp St. Helene from Catskill, Will Stratton from Beacon, and the DJ Collective Stadiums and Shrines. Tune in or turn out to the Avalon Lounge on Wednesday from 8 to 11 p.m. or tune in at WGXC.org 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Out for the Deep in the Valley show Saturday, August 20th, put on by WGXC volunteer programmer Andy French, who does the Crawl Out from the Fallout show once a month on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on WGXC, and his Raven Sings the Blues organization, with performances from Chris Forsythe, Ryan Jewell, Bill Nace, Wet Tuna, and others, Saturday, August 20th from 11:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the From the Ground Brewery in Red Hook. That's the Deep in the Valley show, Saturday, August 20th. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Waveform Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. 72.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, August 10th. Early morning temperatures range from 58 degrees in Windham to 65 in Kingston. Soil temperature is 71 degrees. Today is going to feel pretty good compared to the last week of not knowing if you just took a shower or not. Dew points hang out in the low 60s as temperatures rise to 82 by 3 p.m. Overnight, slight chance of rain for some and comfortable temperatures return around 10 p.m. Then we see a low around 65 degrees. Tomorrow, comfortable dew points stick around, even though we will see a high of 87 at 3 p.m. and some storm activity shortly afterward. Another nice night with a low of 61 takes us into a dry and very sunny looking Friday with a high of 81. Weekend is looking nice, dry with highs in the 80s and cool, comfortable nights. Pollen levels for today will be medium high. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:42 a.m., low tide at 8:40 a.m., high tide again at 2:19 p.m., and low tide once again at 8:46 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 81 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:51 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:54 a.m. Looking way up, we see Earth is now in the dirt trail of Comet Swift-Tuttle, invoking the annual Perseid meteor shower, which is due to peak Friday night into Saturday morning. Solar wind speed is currently 584.2 kilometers per second at 11.3 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 4, quiet. The current sunspot number is 58, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tammy Dillon of Germantown, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Miles from Hudson. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill.
What's the most important issue?
Getting back to the basics of teaching children, not teaching them critical race theory.
And what is critical race theory?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it because I don't understand it that much, but it's something that I don't, what little bit that I know, I don't care for.
And what have you heard that you don't,
well,
that you
I'm
don't
not,
like?
Well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't have that much knowledge on it, but okay. It's something that I'm not, that I don't care for.
Hello, and welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. We're going to tell you a little bit about what's playing in the theaters around the WGXC radius. Jenny, do you want to start off?
I would love to start off. Allow me to tell you what's playing at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. We have Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. We have Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. We
have a lot of,
you know, little rhyming couplets. We have a special screening of Elvis, a special screening of Fire of Love, a volcano movie. We have Where the Crawdads Sing, and Hallelujah, a movie about Leonard Cohen. And you can find out those specific showtimes at crandalltheater.org.
That is a stacked showing. As I was talking before we got on the air, I'm really excited to see Fire of Love. All right, well, I'm going to tell everybody about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. So we have Bullet Train, Where the Crawdads Sing, and Super Pets. And you can find out more about showtimes and what when these movies are playing and what's changing at WindhamTheater.com. That's WIndham Theater.com.
I shall now tell you what's playing at the Spotlight Cinemas in Hudson, and that is otherwise known as the Fairview Movieplex. We have, once again, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. What is it about? I'm not sure, but it's got a funny title. We also have Super Pets, Easter Sunday, Bullet Train, Where the Crawdads Sing, Nope, Thor Love and Thunder, and you can still see Minions, The Rise of Gru, if you haven't gotten a chance to yet. It's still there.
I hear it's great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, people really like those flicks, and it's still, you know, if you haven't had enough, you could go see it again if you wanted to.
Wow, exciting. All right, so I'm going to start heading down the mountain, and I'm going to tell everybody about what's playing at the Greenville Drive-In, otherwise known as Drive-In 32. So on Tuesday, tonight, we have Kung Fu Panda. Wait, today is the 9th. Yes, it is.
Today's
okay,
the 9th.
So it's tonight. Kung Fu Panda is playing one night only.
Oh, my God. If only we could be there.
I know. And it starts at 8 p.m. So hurry on over. I hope that you're listening to this while you're driving over there to see Kung Fu Panda. And then on Friday and Saturday this week, we have Back to the Future. And you can find out more about what's playing at the Greenville Drive-In at drivein32.com.
Oh, so fun. I do love their movie selection sometimes. It's like, it's just very exciting.
I know, it is fun.
All right, so now it's time for me to tell you about what's playing at the Upstate Cinemas in... First, we'll start with Rhinebeck. In Rhinebeck, we have Windshipped with director John Bauermaster, which looks like a movie about boats, if the picture is anything to be believed. We have coming soon, I believe this weekend, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
Ooh.
A horror movie that I believe we both would like to see.
Yes, we would.
Also, a movie called Allie and Ava. A movie called Memoria. They still have Marcel the Shell with Shoes On. A movie called I Love My Dad. And they also have Hallelujah, the Leonard Cohen movie. And then while we're at Upstate, let me just tell you about what's playing at the theater in Saugerties. They have Bullet Train, Memoria, Nope, Endangered with a special Q&A with Rachel Grady, and Vengeance. And you can find out those specific showtimes at upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. I know, I'm really due for some getting to the movies. Ugh, yeah. What the heck, man?
Summer blockbusters, but it's hard. It's a very busy time. It's a very stressful, busy time.
No. Far too busy for two people who should just be watching movies all the time.
No!
So I'm going to tell you guys about what's playing at the Highway Drive-In in Coxsackie, right off of 9W. So for Friday through Thursday, August 5th through August 11th, we have Bullet Train and Top Gun Maverick. We have Super Pets and Minions, The Rise of Gru. Then we have Minions Rise of Gru on one screen, or on another screen, and Easter Sunday. And then we have Nope and The Black Phone. And you can find out more about showtimes at highwaydrivein.com. That's spelled H-I-W-A-Y drivein.com. I also realized that I kind of want to tell everybody what's playing at TSL.
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay, so right now, among many other things, they have a really wild schedule, as we've told you about before, but we have Lost Illusions, we have Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
don't forget his shoes.
they are on. Notorious, and Venice, Infinitely Avant-Garde, and then My Old School, which I'm really curious about.
Oh, perhaps a Steely Dan documentary.
No, one would think. But it stars Alan Cumming, and it's about a kid who fakes his identity, I think.
You know what? I did see a trailer for this. Yeah, it looks like a funny drama. Funny drama. Drama funny.
Yeah, it's like, it kind of, I think it's kind of a documentary, but with a lot of a visual aid, basically.
Yes.
Like some fictionalized
dramatization.
Scenes. And, yeah. So that is what's playing at TSL. You can find out more about their schedule at timeandspace.org. And TSL, in case you didn't know, is located in Hudson, New York.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I think every American should be upset about this.
Allies of Donald Trump rallied around the former president after the FBI raided his Florida home. The search is reportedly connected to documents Trump took from the White House at the end of his term. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy accused the Department of Justice of weaponizing politics.
And it's not just me saying this. You got the Democrat former governor of New York, Cuomo, upset about it. You've got the Democrat who ran for president, Yang, upset about it.
However, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, a possible GOP presidential contender in 2024, had a different take.
It's fair game, and you just have to display probable cause to a federal judge. And you have reason to believe there are contents within that safe that would assist in proving a violation of the law.
A federal appeals court ruled Tuesday the House Ways and Means Committee can obtain his tax returns from the IRS, which Trump has refused to make public. Meanwhile, new polling from Monmouth University found the House January 6 investigation has not moved the needle on Trump's favorability, which stands at 40%. In Tuesday's primaries, in Connecticut, three Republicans are vying to challenge Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal. Results are not expected soon, as counting there is handled on a town-by-town basis. In Vermont, Democrat Brenda Seigel will face incumbent Republican Phil Scott in the governor's race. Congressman Peter Welch is projected to win Vermont's Democratic Senate primary in the race for retiring Senator Patrick Leahy's seat. In Wisconsin, the Democratic primary to face Republican Senator Ron Johnson in the fall is expected to go to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And the GOP primary to face Democratic Governor Tony Evers is too close to call between Trump-backed Tim Michaels and former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish. The CHIPS and Science Act was signed into law, which U.S. Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo says will help create a semiconductor ecosystem in the United States.
Our over-reliance on foreign manufacturers is a real vulnerability. But as has been said, that's going to change.
The White House says the measure will lower costs, create jobs, and strengthen supply chains. Some Republicans supported the $280 billion measure, while others argued it would raise taxes and worsen inflation.
We're showing the world the United States of America can still do big things.
President Joe Biden formalized U.S. support for Finland and Sweden to join NATO as the two countries seek to bolster security as Russia invades Ukraine. More monkeypox vaccine is being used as the government tries to boost its limited supply. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
While additional vaccine effectiveness studies are underway, we at CDC are very much recommending that people who get vaccinated continue to take steps to protect themselves from infection, especially if they have only had a single dose.
There are nearly 9,000 cases of monkeypox nationwide. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our eTrust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. August 2nd, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court upheld Act 77, a bill allowing mail-in voting for all citizens, which passed with bipartisan support in 2019. The big lie caused some of the legislators who voted for the bill to join a suit against it after the 2020 election. The Pennsylvania Capital Star reports that when Act 77 was passed in 2019, a deal was struck by the Republican-controlled legislature with Democratic Governor Tom Wolf. In exchange for no-excuse mail balloting for any citizen, the Republicans got straight-ticket voting removed from the ballot. Then came President Donald Trump and his debunked narrative that fraudulent mail voting was to blame for his loss. Seemingly overnight, mail voting was perceived as unsecure and liberal-leaning by conservatives, and a suit brought by Pennsylvania Republicans argued that the legislature had overstepped its bounds. After a lower court struck it down, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court said on August 2nd that the legislature did not overstep. In 2020, 2.63 million Pennsylvania voters used mail-in voting, one-third of them Republicans. Governor Tom Wolf said in a statement, "Voting is a fundamental right, a right that we should ensure is accessible to all voters. Mail-in voting is a safe, secure, and legal option for Pennsylvania voters to exercise that right." Articles and groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Thank you.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Election Day is not as far off as we might think, and we have primaries come up later in August and general elections in November. Those are just a few months away. A ballot measure that will be presented to New York voters in this November's general election is the Clean Water, Clean Air, and Green Jobs Bond Act. To help us better understand this ballot initiative, we are now joined by Director of Government Relations and Public Policy at Scenic Hudson Incorporated, Andy Bicking. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Thank you. It's great to be here. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk.
So there's a lot to this. So what should voters know about the Clean Water, Clean Air, and Green Jobs Bond Act?
Well, this is a really, really exciting time for the environment and jobs and clean water in New York State, because on November 8th, New York voters are going to have a once-in-a-generation opportunity to protect clean water, update critical infrastructure, and improve the quality of life in every county of the state. There is a really well-organized effort, the Vote Yes for Clean Water and Jobs Coalition, that is looking to inform people about the Environmental Bond Act that will be on their ballot this November and help us tackle some of these really challenging circumstances New Yorkers are facing, and really create a wonderful quality of life for everybody now and for future generations.
So there's a lot of things that this Act is addressing. How is this money getting allocated?
Well, the Bond Act is so exciting because it is really diverse and covers a lot of different ground and territory, tackling some of the major issues and opportunities we're facing on the environment today. We're going to be creating green jobs, revitalizing our economy by funding a lot of community projects. We're going to be investing in disadvantaged communities, making sure that every New Yorker around the state who deserves clean air to breathe, clean water to drink, and access to nature can have it, because not everyone does. And we're also going to be safeguarding clean drinking water, making sure that this really important resource that so many of us depend on, everyone depends on, is available for us. This also includes important things like fresh air, food for our families, and places to explore the great outdoors. And finally, the Bond Act is going to help update our infrastructure and revitalize our economy. There's a lot of really interesting projects around the state that are kind of like really like roads and bridges and wastewater treatment facilities that have an environmental benefit if we do them right. And the Bond Act is going to help us do that.
So let's dive a little bit deeper about how this is going to be taking place. So you did mention disadvantaged communities. It says environmental justice will be addressed by about 35% to 40% of the total funding going to disadvantaged communities. So who decides how this money is being spent? Do the disadvantaged communities get agency over how these funds are being allocated in their communities?
Yeah, that is a great question. It was one of the priorities for the state to make sure that the money raised through this Bond Act is equitably distributed to everybody in New York. You know, many of our frontline communities who are dealing with climate impacts, you know, whether that's flooding or urban heat islands, or even our rural communities, you know, who are on the front lines of kind of growing our food, you know, are kind of receiving the funding from this. And so the Bond Act requires by law that at least 35% to 40% of the total funding of the $4 billion measure are going to go to communities that have these needs. You asked how they're determined and who gets to decide. Well, one of the exciting things that I think really has put New York State in a leadership position nationwide, if not globally, is the passage of the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act in recent years. And if you followed that, or if any of your listeners have followed that, it has been a really great example of inclusivity in a transparent government process, where there are actually members of the community, you know, not elected officials, who kind of represent community organizations and local perspectives, who are brought in to a steering committee to help advise the state on what they would do. And so one of the things that a legislative effort required, is that the state get really clear on identifying which communities were disadvantaged. And that was a kind of inclusive public process that came up with that list. And it identified, you know, communities all over the state that traditionally have been kind of on the front lines of environmental challenges, but yet under-resourced. So that really substantive policy process is going to guide where a lot of these resources go.
Somewhat along the same lines is, you mentioned access to nature and allowing more people to get that access. And the places where we tend to do nature conservancy, create parks, are often far out of these disadvantaged communities, you know, far off in Adirondacks, not in the middle of the Bronx. So how is this being addressed and really giving access to the people who have the least amount of access right now?
That's a great question. And the organizations supporting the Bond Act definitely understand that. That is something that my organization, Scenic Hudson, takes very, very close to heart in all of our decision making. We believe that there's a strong synergy between climate and justice. And if we can't protect our frontline communities, we're not being effective at solving the environmental challenges that we face today. So the Bond Act really allows a lot of different types of investments. Yes, it allows us to invest in our forest preserves, and that's really important for the state, and it has been for a long time. But it also makes sure that those open space resources, however they're experienced, are happening in local communities. So that could take the form of a community garden that's growing, you know, produce for people. It could take the form of a urban stream that maybe gets revitalized and kind of puts a greenway corridor along it so people can get close to the water and the trees to cool off on hot summer days. There's a lot of great opportunities, and you know, we are looking all over the state to kind of identify them, work with our municipalities, work with our local conservation groups to make sure that open space gets developed close to where people actually live.
So the Bond Act, the funding is $4.2 billion. Is that adequate, or is it enough to do what really needs to take place? We're pretty far along now with our climate emergency. Is this doing enough?
The short answer is it is a super meaningful first start, right? New York has never had a Bond Act this big before. And there is, of course, more work to do. Dealing with climate change is a generational issue. You know, we're going to be dealing with it. Our children, our grandchildren are going to be dealing with it. So this isn't the end. You know, it's not like we pass the Bond Act, we do all these wonderful projects in local communities, and then we say we're done. This is really an important first step, and it is a really meaningful first step. Again, being the you know, largest effort of its kind in the state's history, it sets us off on the right trajectory to begin developing those projects. And we also need to recognize that, you know, even if you put more money on the table, there's also a question of how many of those projects are ready at any given point in time. So it's not like you can flick a switch and suddenly solve climate change. You know, the strategies that we are working on as a community are iterative. They take time. It's step by step. And yes, there are things that we know we need to be doing right now. You know, we need to be protecting our urban communities from flooding. We need to be dealing with urban heat islands. We need to be preserving our farms to ensure that we have fresh local food that doesn't have to travel all the way from California to get to the people to eat it. So we can do a lot of that work now, and it will make a difference. But it is, again, a meaningful first step, and there will be more to do in the future.
There's so much about the Bond Act that we didn't even get time to get into. It's pretty extensive with all the different ways that this will be addressing different issues. So thank you, Andy Bicking from Scenic Hudson, for joining us. What would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I would just come back to where we started, is that this is really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that every New Yorker has to kind of invest in things that will help make their quality of life better now, and it's going to help make the planet more livable for their children in the future. So on November 8th, please don't forget the vote. Go to the polls, flip your ballot over, vote yes for clean water and jobs, and really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today.
Thank you so much for joining us.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I hate the winter, can't stand the cold. I tend to cancel all the plans. But when the heat comes, something takes a hold. Can I kick it? Yeah, I can. My cheeks in high color, overripe peaches. No shirt, no shoes, only my features. My boy behind me, he's taking pictures. Take the boys and girls onto the beaches. Come on, come on, tell you my secrets. I'm kinda like a prettier Jesus. Forget all of the tears that you've cried, it's over. Acid green, aquamarine. The girls are dancing in the sand. And I throw my cellular device in the water. Can you reach me? No, you can't. My cheeks in hot color, overripe peaches. No shirt, no shoes, only my features. My boy behind me, he's taking pictures. He's taking pictures. Lead the boys and girls onto the beaches. Come on, come on, I'll tell you my secrets. I'm kinda like a prettier Jesus. Turn it on in a new kind of bright. It's solar. Come on and let the bliss begin. Think three times when you feel it kicking in that sun.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And we start each Renewable Weather Forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. Right now, the Gas Buddy website says the lowest price for a gallon of gas in Greene County is $4.39 at the Cumberland Farms in Cairo. Then we look at the air quality forecast. It's better than yesterday, down to 22 from 37 on Tuesday. And the National Weather Service in Albany predicts Wednesday will be much better, mostly sunny with a high of just 81 degrees, good for local solar panels, and a north wind from 3 to 5 miles per hour will spin local windmills. Wednesday night, there's a 20% chance of showers between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 62. Thursday, there's a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 5 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 83 and a northwest wind around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m., then partly cloudy with a low around 57, and a northwest wind around 7 miles per hour spinning those windmills. Friday should be sunny with a high near 75 and a low around 53. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
Next, we hear from the socialist band Ultra Red. From their 2001 album La Economa Nueva, this is La Antifona.
To guarantee things like an open border and a broken treaty, very free flow of money ever before in history, world duty free. Oh,